10 a.m. We have members present, and it's on the 5th of April 2002. We have members present: Representative Guerra, Representative Guttenberg, Representative T. Wilson, Vice Chair Faircloth, Stoltz, Dugan, and Costello. We have one bill up this morning, House Bill 360. Welcome, Representative Lynn.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and committee. For the record, my name is Representative Bob Lynn, Chair of the House State Affairs Committee, and representing District 31 in South Anchorage. The mining industry has historically been the cornerstone of the Alaska economy, and is getting more significant every day. If you don't grow it, or you don't drill for it, or you don't catch it, it's probably mining.
Did you make that one up?
I borrowed that from somebody. I thought I couldn't remember it all. I think I got them all, but it sounds pretty good.
Go ahead.
And it happens to be true. Alaska currently has 7 operating mines and employs more than 2,000 people in good, high-paying jobs. And it is, again, a cornerstone of our economy. The Interstate Mining Commission, or the IMCC, is a multi-state governmental organization representing the natural resources and environmental protection interests of its member states. The compact's purposes are to advance the protection and restoration of land, water, and other resources affected by mining. The IMCC is the collective voices of the mining states in Washington, D.C. The bill before us, HB 360, authorizes Alaska to participate in the IMCC as a full voting member. Currently, Alaska is only an associate member and cannot vote. And as we know around this building, votes, in fact, do matter. Deputy Commissioner of Natural Resources, Ed Foles, is supposed to be online to answer detailed questions on this. He's my lifeline. And Greg Conrad, Director of Interstate Mining Compact Commission, is also online and can also answer questions. And we have Ashley Brown, Department of Law, is available for legal questions. I ask for your support of HB 360. It's important for our future.
Did you have a preference? Did you want Mr. Fogles or Mr. Brown?
Let's let Mr. Fogles go first.
Okay. We'll defer to you. Welcome, Representative Jewell. Mr. Fogles.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'm here.
Great. You familiar with our committee procedure, so go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, for the record, my name is Ed Fogles. I'm the Deputy Commissioner of the Alaska Department of Natural Resources, and I sincerely apologize for not being able to be there in person. I would have liked to have done that for this important bill. I had to be out of state this week. As you all know, mining activity in Alaska has been significantly increasing over the past several years. We now have 7 operating major mines that are all doing well environmentally and as strong contributors to our state and the regional economies. I believe we're doing a very good job with permitting and regulating these mines. We have a strong process in place that we've built up over the years with a lot of agency expertise. But in recent years, with there's also been increasing controversy over mining, and some have now called into question the strength of our permitting process. On the governor's direction, we've been asked to look at permitting, not only for mining but other sectors, and look at ways we can strengthen and improve it and make it more efficient. And as part of this initiative, we are looking at 2 things. One is we're looking at how other states regulate and permit mines, and trying to, in a way, we can learn from them. And second, we're trying to improve our collaboration with the federal government, as they are really key to any permitting process in this state. And this is where the Interstate Mining Compact Commission comes in. Alaska has been an associate member for 6 years now. The Compact Commission brings together the mining and regulatory and environmental programs from 24 member states. It provides a very strong information exchange venue for the 24 member states, and it also carries the full weight of these 24 states when testifying before Congress on legislation that may affect states, and also in meeting with the key federal agencies that are so powerful in permitting processes in Alaska. One specific example I'll briefly mention is the Environmental Protection Agency's initiative to take over bonding for hard rock mining in throughout the nation. This is under the auspices of the Superfund law, CERCLA, and they're looking at the mining sector first, and then they will be looking at oil and gas and energy following that. But every single mining state in the nation is very, very concerned about this initiative to take over mine bonding, and it does threaten the integrity of states' ability to permit and regulate their mines. So very, very high level of anxiety over this initiative from the states. The Interstate Mining Compact Commission has been a very powerful mechanism to bring 24 states together to start working with EPA to figure out a way to educate EPA on what the ramifications of their action may be and maybe to come up with alternative solutions. So, in summary, I am currently the governor's designee to the Interstate Mining Compact Commission. I've seen firsthand the benefits that membership in the compact will bring Alaska. We can make the compact more powerful and increase Alaska's benefits from the compact by becoming full members, and I encourage the committee to positively consider this legislation. Thank you very much.
Any questions for Mr. Fogles? Representative Denberg.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Fogles, just going through the Interstate Mining Compact and purpose and findings, there's a lot in here, but is there anything in here that we give up our state sovereignty on, that we allow them to speak on our behalf that might contradict the state of Alaska's best interests?
Representative Guttenberg, through the chair, no, there is not. Actually, there is specific language in there that that makes sure that cannot happen. The Interstate Mining Compact Commission is it's an advisory body. It does not dictate to the states what they can or can't do. It is just sort of the focus of the state's voice to Congress. We're okay there, Representative Guttenberg.
I can follow through. And there's nothing prohibiting us from speaking, somebody's a member of the commission, you as the appointee, speaking on behalf of the state that might be in contradiction to the compact as it deals with other states?
Representative Guttenberg, through the chair, yes, there's nothing in this legislation or in the provisions of IMCC's membership that would prohibit us from doing so.
Okay, thank you. Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Fogles, Representative Newman here. Would the Interstate Mining Compact have any authority or do you have the ability to work towards improving some of the mining laws that the state is facing right now? There's been increased attention by the Federal Safety Mining Act, basically the OSHA part of federal mining. A lot of small and mining organizations, operations, tremendous amount of paperwork that they're having to go through. Could this group work towards compromises with the federal government on mining safety to where maybe the state could take over management of some of these mines if they have less than 24 people? Or I know that the state has already set some precedent that way in other law that the federal oversight is. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, Representative Newman, through the chair. The Interstate Mining Compact Commission can help us achieve some of these goals, and in fact is doing so. It all depends on the specific federal law that dictates the program. But in the case of the Mine Safety Health Administration, the IMCC just recently signed an MOU between the IMCC and the Mine Safety Health Administration, and MSHA's director, Joe Main, was actually the signatory on that MOU. And that MOU pledges for MSHA to work more closely with the states to resolve some of these issues. So we've really, through IMCC, we've launched an effort to try and work better with MSHA and to take into account states' concerns. And believe me, I've been hearing a number of concerns from small miners in Alaska that they're very unhappy with the way MSHA has been treating them. So we've been through primarily working with the Department of Labor. We've been focusing on this issue and trying to make some progress. Whether we can actually get that program or portions of it delegated to us, I don't know the answer to that, and that would be kind of totally dependent on the federal laws, but I assure you we'll be looking at that.
Thank you. Thank you. Thomas? We have next Mr. Conrad, who is in Anchorage, I believe. Are you there, sir?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning. My name is Greg Conrad, and I serve as Executive Director of the Interstate Mining Compact Commission. And I appreciate the opportunity to testify in support of House Bill 360. As you know, Alaska has been an associate member of the compact since 2006, during which time the state has had an opportunity to learn more about the benefits and services that IMCC provides to its member states. And I believe it's based on that experience, as you just heard from Mr. Fogels, that the state has chosen to move forward with the legislation that is necessary to bring the state into the compact as a full member. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, in today's legislative and regulatory climate in Washington, D.C., it's more important than ever for state governments to be heard and their concerns understood. And this is as true for mining issues and related environmental concerns as any other governmental matters such as health care, transportation, infrastructure, and budgets. IMCC is recognized by many in Washington, D.C. for our experience and expertise on mining issues. As an example, we have been requested to testify and have testified on behalf of the states at 6 congressional hearings in the House and Senate over the past year on topics such as Good Samaritan protections for hard rock abandoned mine cleanups, stream protection requirements for surface coal mining operations, hard rock financial assurance requirements under CERCLA, legislation to enhance funding for states to reclaim abandoned coal and hard rock mines, and the impacts of the federal budget on state grant programs. As is noted in our annual report, a copy of which I believe has been provided to the committee, IMCC is regularly called upon to provide its recommendations on a plethora of issues, both on Capitol Hill and before the federal regulatory agencies here in D.C. These recommendations are developed by the states at IMCC meetings and conference calls and are communicated in the form of resolutions, testimony in congressional and federal agency hearings, formal comments on agency rulemakings, congressional staff briefings, and state-federal meetings and task forces. Without the input of our member states, none of this would be possible. It's our ability to speak with one voice on common concerns that draws the states together and gives meaning to what we do. One of the matters that may be helpful to you for me to discuss today is why Alaska should become a full member. As with other state government organizations, it is the active participation and commitment of the full member states that carries the organization forward in terms of both support and leadership. Upon becoming a full member through the enactment of the legislation before you, the state of Alaska will have a formal vote in guiding the direction of the compact. Alaska will also be in a position to chair the various standing committees of the compact and to thereby help lead the compact in directions that are favorable to both Alaska and the member states. Alaska will, of course, continue to enjoy the many other benefits to which it has been exposed over the past 6 years, including access to all IMCC communications, meetings, programs, and initiatives. Alaska's participation as a full member will also be recognized and understood by those who work with the compact on a regular basis, including both the Congress and the federal agencies. And this brings a greater degree of recognition and influence regarding Alaska's participation in our work. IMCC's presence in Washington, D.C. allows us to monitor federal agency and congressional initiatives that might impact states' rights as well as developmental constraints on mineral issues. I believe that Alaska's participation in the organization opens avenues for the state to be heard in unique and valuable ways not otherwise available to it, and to be supported with the clout that comes from 24 states speaking together as one voice. And since IMCC agency is focused solely on mining and related environmental protection issues with the federal government, we are able to delve deeper into the concerns that matter most to Alaska in this critical area of resource use and protection. I know I speak for all of the member states of the compact in encouraging your committee to seriously consider and hopefully approve this legislation to bring Alaska in as our newest full member state. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have or provide any additional information you require. Thanks again for the opportunity to participate in today's hearing.
Okay, I don't see any questions. Thank you very much. I do have a quick question for Mr. Fogles. Are you still there? Yeah, what do you see the role of the Mental Health Trust as one of our new mining partners in this compact, Mr. Fogles?
Mr. Chair, well, I think that I think the biggest benefit for the Mental Health Trust for Alaska's membership is just to make sure that our permitting process is as efficient as possible, especially with respect to the federal agency involvement. I think that the trust would benefit by a better, stronger relationship with the federal agencies through IMCC. I know the trust right now is looking at a potential coal development in some parts of the state, and also some major mining activity up by Livengood. So figuring out that federal permitting piece is going to be key, and IMCC will definitely be able to help the state do that.
I don't know if maybe I need to do the softball a little bit more underhand, a little slower, Mr. Fogles. What would their role be through as an advocate of, I think that's the last time I'm going to try.
You mean,
how are you going to bring them in as one of our partners?
Right.
Forget it. If it's that hard. Representative, is there any other public testimony? Okay, well, we're going to close the public testimony.
Mr. Chairman, I move before the committee House Bill number 3627-LS1413/A.
As a working document, appreciate that. Is there any objection? Hearing none. Let's go to the fiscal notes.
Mr. Chairman, I have a couple of questions, but we have one fiscal note, so I'll read that in the record first. It affects the Department of Natural Resources. The allocation is to mining, land, and water. The OMB component number is 3002. It's dated 3/15/2012. From FY13 to FY18, it has $20,000 each year for travel and $40,000 each year for service, for a total operating budget addition of $60,000 per year. Mr. Chairman, I have questions now on the actual fiscal note and some others.
Okay, Mr. Fogles, are you still there?
Okay. I am, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Representative Fairclough and then Guttenberg.
First, Mr. Chairman, I see that the governor is the designee on this particular compact, and I see that we've been participating in the compact as an associate member or something less than full membership. So my first question is, how did we become an associate member, and isn't that already then included in the governor's budget for travel?
Representative Fairclough, through the chair, currently the dues portion of the for our associate membership is covered by through existing funds in the mining section of the Division of Mining, Land, and Water, and it's a fairly minimal amount.
How much is minimal?
I'm sorry.
How much is minimal?
$7,500 a year. So I guess it's not that minimal, but we've been able to put that together through our from our existing budget. And then the travel money, we're pulling that through existing budgets at the current time. And, we're not going to that many of the meetings. And we would obviously, if we were a full member, we would have greater participation in
IMCC meetings. So we would have to hopefully increase our travel to those meetings.
Mr. Chairman, if I might continue then to the – this can go to whoever can answer, but maybe Mr. Conrad, the executive director. I see that we have if we were the 20th participant in this activity or in this compact, that we would of the 50% of whatever budget was approved, Alaska would be allocated 1/20th of 50% of the budget in support. First, is that an accurate statement of Alaska's fiscal contribution to the compact as one component?
Yes, that's one component.
For the record, who was that answering?
That's Mr. Conrad. I'm sorry. Mr. Conrad speaking.
Thank you, Mr. Conrad. So the question that I don't understand yet, and I've looked through the materials, and I may have overlooked it, but on the other 50%, it's calculated based on some kind of formula, and I've looked in your articles of incorporation, and it just refers me to a formula that's somewhere else that says based on a comparison between other states, the a calculation of your total resource value for extraction is used. And so where can I see in some certainty how Alaska currently would compare to the other existing states as far as our percentage of additional contributions? Like, will we be the big contributor in the room once we enter the compact, so we're going to reduce the costs that other states have in going forward? I just want to know, for our investment in being able to shape the way the compact might move forward in the form of our votes and leadership on different committees, what that will cost in real dollars. And I know we have an estimation, but the estimation is travel and 50% of your existing budget. I see there's at least three staff that are on your website. So and we've purchased office, the compact's purchased office space or is leasing office space in Virginia. Maybe that's West Virginia. So I don't know what your budget looks like to what we're signing up for as far as our share of that compact.
Okay, this is Mr. Conrad speaking. Thank you for your question. Let me begin with how the dues are calculated. That is actually in Article 7, Paragraph D, I believe, of the House bill. Which speaks specifically to the formula that we use for dues calculation, and that is the part that indicates that part of the dues are pro rata among the full member states, and the other is based upon the value of mineral production, and it's a combination of those two factors that help calculate the portion of the dues that are attributable to each of the full member states. Alaska's dues, based upon the value of your coal and non-coal mineral production, and that equal share amount would, at the present time, be about $35,000. That there are at least three or four states that pay more than that to the compact at this point in time. We do have a dues assessment chart that I can make available to you that shows exactly how the dues are distributed among the current member states. And where Alaska would fall among those states. In terms of our expenses, you are correct that they are in the $550,000 range at this point for operating expenses. The largest portion of that is for employee compensation and benefits. There are two full-time equivalent folks here, myself and my director of programs. The only other person is a very part-time bookkeeper, and we are located in a suburb of Washington, D.C. in Northern Virginia. That's where we lease our space. That portion of our dues related to administrative expenses is probably about 20% of our budget. Is that helpful? Are there other aspects of that I've missed?
Mr. Chairman, if I might.
Very close.
Mr. Conrad, the reason I was asking about Article 5 is it says the article contains a formula for the apportionment of appropriation requests, and then it goes into more subjective terms. In part, this formula is dependent on comparisons of relative values of ores. And then it lists two different places where we're going to go provide that number. So do you use the U.S. Bureau of Census and Mines, the Mineral Yearbook? Is that what you're drawing from, or is there something that's combined and then those two numbers are divided out from another data point?
The value of non-coal mineral production is taken from the most recent edition of the Minerals Yearbook published by the United States Geological Survey, and the value of coal production in the state is taken from figures provided by the Energy Information Administration, which is part of the United States Department of Energy.
So those two different numbers are then drawn together to provide a base that you take a percentage of? Is that what you're doing? Is it a percentage of? So what's the percentage you apply to the minerals?
The percentage is calculated based upon the value of that mineral production as compared to the rest of the member states.
So it's backwards, like a mill rate. You take whatever the 50% is of your budget, and then you back it back through in an allocation formula?
Correct.
Got it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Correct.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For Mr. Vogels. Mr. Vogels, I'm looking at one of the handouts that we got from the Compact Commission entitled Interstate Mining Compact Background. I'm looking at page 3, the first paragraph down. It talks about the representative for the governor. If the governor isn't the person on the commission, talks about there being an advisory body to counsel the governor. One of those members shall be the alternate on the advisory board to the Interstate Mining Compact. Does that exist now? Who is it, and does it meet? Is it built into the budget? Could you give us a little background on that?
Representative Guttenberg, through the chair. That advisory board does not exist for the governor right now, specific to the Interstate Mining Compact Commission. The governor's designee does exist, and that's me. But the actual advisory board does not exist. And actually, if you look at the background information on the IMCC website, but if you look at the actual bill, it specifically states that this advisory board may be created. So it's a discretionary advisory board as to whether the governor already has some advisory boards that advise him on certain aspects of mining, the Alaska Minerals Commission, and also the Natural Resources Conservation and Development Board. So there really haven't been any decisions as to whether the governor actually wants to create another advisory board advisory body at this time yet.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd just like to point out that in this handout from the commission, it says the article requires that there be in each state an advisory board.
Right, and Representative Guttenberg, through the chair, that is correct. That's in the IMCC articles. However, in our legislation, the legislation is before you right now. That language has been modified to make it clear that for Alaska it will be discretionary, and we have discussed this with IMCC and the member states and with the executive director, and the Interstate Mining Compact Commission has approved that language.
Thank you.
All right. Mr. Fogels, I just have a very quick question. Does the administration support this bill? And that's not a facetious question, given a lot of the other legislation we've had.
Mr. Chair, yes, this administration supports this legislation.
Okay. Representative Fairclough.
Mr. Chairman, just for the record first, compacts are something that we enter into, and we don't have an opportunity to wordsmith the documents before us, as I understand it. And can I get an affirmative or a negative on that from either the bill sponsor or Mr. Conrad?
Mr. Fogels, I think.
Mr. Fogels?
Representative Fairclough, through the chair, again, we we specifically asked this. I mean, we worked through our Department of Law, and we worked with the Interstate Mining Compact Commission on this one modification to the compact language, and we got an affirmative response from the Interstate Mining Compact Commission on that. And if you want, Mr. Conrad may be able to reaffirm that.
I think she asked a more general question, but why don't you try again, Representative Fairclough?
Thank you. Mr. Fogles, for the benefit of the public, the reason that we're not, as a committee, trying to modify or amend this language is typically when a compact comes before the state, we are entering in a larger body, and we don't have an opportunity to change the direction of the compact from the state, that change has to be done through representation on the compact in an agreement with other states. Is that correct, or can we modify what's before us?
And a monosyllable answer would be preferred.
Or is it advised, I should say. Maybe that's a better interpretation.
It's almost two syllables.
This is Mr. Conrad speaking. It is advised that the compact language not be amended significantly by the states as they consider compact membership.
So this is Stoltz, Chairman. You don't want us to, but you just said it's okay if we don't do too much. I was about ready to move the bill here, but
we already did.
No, I mean move the bill out of committee. So do you guys want to rethink that one, or?
Mr. Conrad again. The importance of compacts, as was noted, is the uniformity among the states. Of the basic legislative language. However, we have agreed, not only with Alaska, but with other member states, to make adjustments that have been requested by new member states that are then approved by the commission as appropriate for the circumstances faced by the states in your specific example with regards to advisory bodies.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, if I might, I move to amend the fiscal note and eliminate the travel budget to zero. The governor already has funds inside of his budget that he's traveling with. If the commissioner of DNR is appointed as the delegate, I believe that there's enough funds available, or they can come back to us with a supplemental request.
I'll concur with that. I hope they do have a lot of proactive and productive activity, and they've already been going to this on an ad hoc basis, so I think we could probably sustain it. And if it turns out we're not doing it enough, we can rectify that. Representative Dugan.
Thank you. I just wanted to make sure that I understood this. The motion is to zero out the travel part?
For all for this year and all successive years.
Okay, thank you.
Any objection to that?
No objection, but I just want to say
okay,
that's
adopted. And Representative Wilson.
Sorry, Mr. Chair. For travel, too, it would also give them that additional $7,500 that they were already giving as an associate member, too, correct?
That's something they've handled internally.
Okay. Just want to make sure. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, on the fiscal note, the new fiscal note for FY13 through FY18 is $40,000. And in response to Representative Wilson, we are allowing wherever they're getting the $7,500 from now. We've been told, at least through the fiscal note and testimony, that $40,000 is an estimate that we will meet our obligations for dues. So that's why we're leaving it there. With that, Mr. Chairman, I move from committee the House Bill 360-27-LS1413-A with amended fiscal note and individual committee recommendations.
And that will show the fiscal note. The total will be $40,000 for FY13 and succeeding years.
Correct.
So without objection, that is moved out. Our afternoon hearing, we've things sometimes slow down, and we have problems getting things drafted. The bonds bill, as we noticed to your offices, that's postponed, which is different than canceled. We'd like to bring that up as soon as that's we have the document to come forward. So we will take up other legislation that we have committee. First and foremost is House Bill 290, which was Representative Wasserman's endowment bill. And if we have anything else that I believe your bill 312 and we Joe, is that Mr. Michelle, we passed out CSs to the members, if not have those well before the hearing, as much as well before 10:35 is right now, but it's that time of year. So with that, we are adjourned until 1:30.